The Sevenfold Unity of the Church, June 2014. We see in Ephesians 4, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The seven unities of this true church, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, the Father of us all. One body. There is one body. We are the church, which is the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. There is one Spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit that indwells us, the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 1, verse 13, in whom ye have also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is one and cannot be divided. One hope. Romans 5, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There is one Holy Ghost, again here we see that, which God gave us. We are also be glorified. We will be glorified someday. Romans 8, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That is our blessed hope. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We know from Scripture that we will be, and that is our hope, delivered from this evil world, from the pain that we have, from our enemies, and from this body of corruption. Never been sick in your life? You in heaven will never be sick again. Never be hungry, never be cold, never be hot. Good stuff. Good promises. Colossians 1, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. we are waiting to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That's not like a second coming. That's talking about the coming of the Lord in the air. We will have eternal life. This is a promise. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And look again in Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, we will inherit with the Lord. Titus 3 verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There are so many things I could put in here for the hope. Now let's move on to one Lord. There is only one Lord, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have two lords. We cannot serve two or more lords. You will love one more than the others. Why not love the only Lord, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? One faith. There is only one faith, and it is to place our belief, our trust in Jesus Christ. One baptism. This is a spiritual baptism being associated with our Lord. Romans 6 verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. No water here. Romans 6 verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we, so we also should walk in newness of life. We have been given a new life. That's what it's talking about. And you can see here by the words that this baptism is unto death. So he died at the cross, and we were raised up with him. And this is a spiritual action, not a physical, because nobody was there 2,000 years ago. Romans 6 verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is confirmed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. This baptism is a dry baptism, therefore there is no water. One God. There is only one God. There are a million gods in the world, but only one true God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Paul makes a reference to false gods. Galatians 4 verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Do you remember when Paul went to Athens or Ephesus? They were making gods to the prophetess Diana. Prophetess? No. The Queen Diana? The Queen of Heaven? All that stuff. Gods made by hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ. by whom all things are, by whom are all things, and we by him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Recently, I visited a website that had these definitions, and they made a mess of every one of them. They said something like, there is unity of those who are baptized believers. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. They change scripture to fit what they believe. Why don't we believe what the scripture says? See, that's the other way around. The best way is to believe what the scripture says. So if God says there is only one baptism, don't find another one. The one that we find is the one that the Spirit does by putting the believer into the body of Christ. The other baptism in the Bible don't count here, because us in the dispensation of the grace of God, we have these things that are explained here in Ephesians, and we have to believe what the Bible says. I'm surprised, you know, that people hold on so dearly to concepts like, oh yeah, that is water baptism. It's not there. It's not in Romans 6. I had a tough time with someone right here in this house that believed that, you just told me that, you know, in Romans 6 there, it is water baptism. It is implied. Wait a minute. Did the Holy Spirit forget to put water in Romans 6? No, he didn't forget it. It's not there. It's a spiritual baptism. That's why people, you know, they add things, you know, to the scriptures. So you don't want to do that. So you have all kinds of groups that twist scriptures to add things, you know, as they believe, and yet they won't verify those words and just read them for what they are. The Bible is complete. It does not have any mistake. I'm talking about the King James Bible. So you just go in there, read it, understand it. See, if Paul tells you there is only one baptism, what is he referring to? What is the reference? The reference is that the Holy Spirit that puts us into the body of Christ. The other water baptism, for example, when Paul says, I was not sent to baptize, that is a reference to water baptism. But God didn't send him to baptize. Well, it's very different from Peter, because Peter, he baptized a whole bunch of people, 3,000, 5,000, remember in Acts, in early Acts. It's very evident that water baptism is very important for the nation of Israel under the law. For them to become a nation of priests, they have to be baptized with water. Now, you can discuss the whole thing about, do they baptize three times in the name of the Lord, of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit, and forward, backward, completely immersion, or just sprinkling. Irrelevant today, because this baptism that I have, I received from the Holy Spirit, who took me and put me into the body of Christ. Simple. Okay, I believe that. So water baptism has no purpose today. So you look at these sevenfold unity of the church, and my question is, have we done that? Are we united in the bond, you know, in that thing? And Paul tells us someplace, endeavoring to keep the unity. Have we done so? No. That's another proof we are humans. And humans mess up everything. Spiritually speaking, and look at the world. The world's a big mess right now. And it's not getting better. I hear a radio commercial that says, things are getting better. You must be kidding. I got pain everywhere in my body. I have payments for my mortgage and my car and this and that. The kids are running crazy. And on and on. People have tons and tons of problems. So the world's not getting better. You know, we do have better technology. I admit that. This camera is a proof of that. It's a little tiny camera. It's, you know, it just fits in my hand like this. You didn't have that 20 years ago. So technology is better. But do we use technology correctly today to help people? Well, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So it seems to me that every time we create something new, we can use it for good, we can also use it for bad, and unfortunately, many things are used for bad. See, I could use this camera to do different kind of videos. I don't think you would like to see them. But it's far better to do scripture with the video. You know, filming animals like I've done before, the ducks in the pond nearby. That's, you know, interesting, it's informative, kids love animals. And, you know, it can be used for that. Or I can do some really bad thing with that camera. I have the choice to do that. So, this unity of the church, I have really serious questions. Will we ever attain it before the Lord comes and pick up His church, the body of Christ? I doubt it. The one thing that I can say is that we do have unity because we are all saved. So all the saved people are united, at least because we are in the body of Christ. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about these things that we, you know, that I have read, the seven unity. You know, there's one faith. At least we got the one faith. Well, I hope we all have the one faith in the body of Christ. So you have to think about this and think about that yourself. Okay, how do we help others to see these things? Now, I'm not talking about ecumenism. Ecumenism is bad. Because ecumenism says, let's see here. We have our gospel, your gospel, and our doctrine, your doctrine. Okay, let's see if we can meet somewhere in the middle. This thing has got a clicker and this one doesn't have, so let's forget about the clicker. Whatever. Okay? But it does have ink. This one has ink. So, you know the things we have in common? We have ink. Whatever you call that in the spiritual world. Okay? So this got the body, this got a body, and see, that way, you know, we can really unite together now. No, we can't. Because we are different. And we will remain different. Unless we drop the differences by looking at what the scripture says. And that will have the unity in the spirit. Of the spirit. And until that happens, and I don't think it will ever happen, but that's the goal. You know, the Christianity has that goal of uniting everyone in the world. It's not going to happen. I know that. It's not going to happen. But it's a goal. That's what we should strive for. Now, the only way that we can have this common faith is by believing what Christ has done for us. So to be saved is very simple. Believe that Christ died for your sins, how He died, you know, the crucifixion, all that stuff. You can go back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read about the crucifixion and all the surrounding events. So you believe what Christ has done for you, and you know by 1 Corinthians 15 that He was buried. We know He was buried, and He rose again 3 days after. And that's the only thing that God asks you to believe to be saved. He's only asking you, believe in My Son, what He has done for you, and I'm going to save you instantly, forever. Wow, what a message. That's all. Have a good day.